notorious, so notorious. Hello and welcome to the Two Old Dolphins podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk podcast network. The show is hosted by Alex Sines and me, Scott Quiggle. So welcome to another episode of the Two Old Dolphins podcast. Alex is in the studio with me tonight. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great, Scotty. What's going on?
All right. Well, I thought I would start this one off with another book recommendation. I've finished another Audible book.
That's my boy. Yeah. That's my boy. Which one?
Alex got me on it. So I've been kind of following this list of like highly recommended agile books, agile leadership books, stories about real stories about companies and examples and all that. And so I read one written by Captain David Marquet. He was a U.S. naval captain of nuclear submarine.
Wow, I just did a business with a gentleman that was in a nuclear submarine.
Yeah.
That he worked on one when he was younger. Yeah, interesting.
The USS Santa Fe, he likes to say it funny. So.
Yay. Okay.
He read the book that he wrote himself, so it was interesting hearing in his own voice. I kept thinking, is this really, you know, Captain Marquet, or is this Steve Buscemi? He sounded a little bit like Steve Buscemi. So when I was finished, I waited till I was done with the book, and then I went and looked him up, and I saw he's on another sort of podcast show that I watch and listen to, watch on YouTube, listen to, you know, podcast-wise sometimes, called Google Talks. And Google hosts different people of all walks of life, like just smart, intelligent people, and they'll talk about whatever. You know, it's all different subjects and everything. And he did one of the Google Talks. And so I saw him on that. I'm like, okay, he looks like a lot of the other, you know, sort of Navy guys that I've known or met, or especially in the command sector. But anyway, so.
So what was the number one thing you learned from the book?
It was another really good example of someone coming into a situation and just taking the agile values and principles without maybe even having a complete thorough knowledge of them being the agile principles and putting them into action. I think the key components around the book are about changing the model from a leader-follower standpoint to a leader-leader standpoint, meaning you push control down to lower levels so that people can are allowed to make decisions, to react faster. And there's a whole lot more around it. I mean, that's a massive oversimplification. But similar to Team of Teams, right? I talked about that one previously, General Stanley McChrystal, where he took all those special forces and combined them. And you know, as far as cross-functional teams, right? So on the sub, his, you know, primary thing was that he wanted to push decision-making control down. And it's just, there's a whole lot more to it than that. Three key components he talks about are control, right? Leaders must relinquish control while still retaining responsibility, right? They still own everything.
Yeah, they own the situation.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they push down decision-making so that they don't, so that everyone doesn't have to come to them. There's a thing I teach in my Agile class called the reduction of decision latency. Companies lose tons of money all the time. I mean, all the time, because they've built this hierarchical structure. And when a question needs to be answered, it has to go up the chain, and there's all these delays, and days go by, weeks go by, and in a bad situation, in some companies, months go by before that decision gets made. And that work doesn't get done, right? So that's part of what solves this. Making sure that the people that are taking on additional responsibility have a high level of competence. So you have to equip them with the knowledge that and resources necessary to make good decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Train them, enable them, you know.
Pretty all that cool.
Stuff. And then clarity. Cool. Everyone should have a very clear goal in mind. So that leader may provide the goal, or the organization may provide the goal. You know, it can be small. Mm-hmm. It can be small goals. We're going to go over here and do this next, and this is the reason why. And so this is like one of those things that a lot of leaders don't necessarily tell everyone. We want to position ourselves for this takeover of this company at this time because it really gives us an advantage, right? And we don't want, you know, competitors to get in that sector before us, or we want to overcome them, whatever it may be. But it's like sharing the information down so that those people at lower levels can react and use initiative and be creative about the solutions that they're suggesting and providing. And so that's really an agile concept. Again, in the book, there's a lot more to it than that, but this is another really good one. I've read three really good ones in a row, so I'm like happy. Listen to three really good ones in a row. So I recommend for anyone that wants to understand agile leadership, especially Creativity Inc. That was the one I recommended a few months ago, and then Team of Teams, and then now I've just finished Turn the Ship Around.
Well, let's talk about the other leadership.
Yes, it's time to talk about our Miami Dolphins and the leadership that we have.
Which is,
it's a topic awesome. Lately.
It's been awesome. I mean, yep. I think our team really showed it again in a game that we lost our star receiver early on.
Yeah, his first catch.
Not really.
Did he have a catch before that?
He had two catches.
Okay.
But the bottom line is losing Parker.
Who's been dominant.
It's the reason we lost. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Ford did pretty well.
Yeah, he did.
But he didn't score. Nobody scored.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody scored.
Nobody scored.
Right? So he kind of took that linchpin difference maker out of the equation, and then everything leveled out. So I think Gesicki ended up getting more focus on him.
Yeah, our red zone was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
we had a very high percentage for being such a lousy team, a very high percentage of success in the red zone. This was zero. Unless you count field goals. So.
We needed to have faked another field goal and get a touchdown, but it didn't happen. But in a way, never happy that we lost, but if we would have won that game, we would have been out of the top five for drafts and the draft choice. We would have been out of the top five.
Yeah, I don't care.
Well, I do.
I move past that.
Well, I do. I think that, look, I would have loved to beat the Jets, sweep them. It would be hysterical.
Oh,
but
we titled our last episode, "What If We Sweep?"
The funny thing is, I mean, we could go through all the statistics, but bottom line is the game was played even. The score reflected it. The statistics reflected it. Everything reflected it. We played those guys even when they have so much more talent than we do.
That's true. Even with Bell out.
Yeah,
Bell
has
out,
sucked all year because Gase doesn't know how to use him.
Right. What running back has he ever known how to use?
Zero.
It's been the exception.
He's ruined this guy's career. Bell today goes to the open market. I mean, what does he have for the year? 538 yards rushing?
I don't even know.
I believe that's what it was.
I mean, that sounds a very specific
number. Well, I looked it up.
Okay.
I mean, he's ruined this guy. This guy in the open market, people are going to go like, I don't know. You're not much of a back. I mean, he hasn't done anything. He's destroyed this guy. The rest of the team, I mean, Darnold, you see Darnold out there. He looks, you know, I mean.
I thought he was going to carve us up. I mean.
He didn't.
My early notes were, again, lack of pressure. Nobody is pressuring Darnold.
No pressure on Darnold, and he still sucked.
Yeah.
You look at Tannehill.
What was with Taco Charlton being benched? What happened there?
Yeah, we got to talk about that one. But then I was going to say, but you see Tannehill on the other side.
Oh, my God.
He's got almost 400 yards. He's second best in the NFL since he started playing. I mean, is it, again, the coaching that's that bad? I mean, I hate to, this is not beat up on Gase, but geez. I mean,
why wouldn't we beat up on Gase? We've beat up on him like every episode for the last eight episodes in a row, I think.
I mean, listen.
I'm sure that has something to do with it.
I couldn't. I can't tell.
Clearly,
you
he has a better offensive line. That helps him a lot.
Okay, it helps any quarterback.
Sure. Yes, you get more time in the pocket to make decisions than
But if you're not a quick decision maker. His receivers are adequate.
He was always a good athlete.
He's a great athlete. You know? So, but he's running. He's throwing. He's performing
clearly
at a high level.
Clearly, he's being coached up from where he was when he played for us.
Yeah, and Donald, look at him. He looks the shadow of himself of last year.
Yeah, he looks like crap.
He looks like crap. Yep. I mean, that team should have lost the game.
Yeah.
We should have won.
Both teams were sloppy coming out, especially. I couldn't believe all the drops the Jets were having.
Yeah,
I mean,
incredible.
Should have gone right down the field, and I'm watching every receiver on their team, especially Thomas. He did have the only touchdown catch for them, but he dropped, I don't know, three or four balls, at least in the first half alone.
Yeah, Crowder didn't burn us up like he did last time. I mean, it's just the Jets are pathetic. They're a reflection of their coach. They're really, really bad. Meanwhile, we were playing up again. We were playing inspired football. We lost our number. We're not a team with a luxury.
I noticed specifically one play where we really, you know, I mean, there's, of course, just the situation of missing Parker was there. But there was like one play where I'm like, here's the difference. Where they got an interception because Hearns lost a contested ball.
Yeah, that was terrible.
And it was a lousy attempt, and it looked weak. And those are the things that Parker's been moving up and taking and adjusting to and owning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had that been Parker, I think that would not have been an interception. Probably would have been a reception. And, you know, that's like that tip of the scale, the difference.
Yeah, Parker was playing out of his mind. I mean, top five receiver. Losing him, like I was saying.
Hearns is a number three at best. No, but, you know, but even on a.
No, but look, we're not talented enough to lose a guy like Parker and recuperate. Again, we saw Ford. Look nice, adequate.
He looked, I mean, he was getting open and catching some open balls. And by open, I don't mean wide open. I mean, he had a step.
No, he had a step. He looked okay. Look, he looked nice. He did a very admirable job.
Yeah.
But Parker
was
a
guy that had been cut from our team earlier in the season.
But Parker was playing at a stellar level. And losing him, and then Gesicki again disappeared.
He did.
Wow. Just when we start loving the kid, one reception.
And expecting him to, you know. Well, even when Parker went down, I'm like, well, now we're really going to see Gesicki, right?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Zero. Yeah. I mean, there were disappointing signs in the game. I think the biggest one.
How many looks did he get?
Well, he was targeted five times, one reception, 6 yards.
Yeah, that's. Thank God I didn't start him.
Yeah, I mean,
I was on a bye. So.
Actually, thought of starting him. He went back. I mean, back to himself. He just didn't look great. Ford was targeted 9 times, 6 receptions, 92 yards, 15.3 yards per catch. I mean, Ford looked great. But the most impressive statistic is how about Fritz rushing for 65 yards
on
7 carries?
He just kept tucking it away and running. And earlier in the season, I was so unused to that, you know?
Yeah, it was really weird when it happened.
I was actually laughing, and I still type funny lines.
Hey, I didn't like his pitch back, by the way. I thought that was
scared me.
That was really.
I think it not only surprised me and everyone watching the game, it surprised
Ivy
the receiver.
Ivy League like. That was very stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been a turnover. It was careless.
Could have been a disaster.
A disaster. I didn't like it. But listen, at the end of the day, he's having fun out there, and he's playing really lights out. Well, didn't get us any touchdowns, but he had us down there, what, 8 times?
Yeah.
Wow.
8 times in field goal range. 8 times in the red zone.
8 times.
Yeah.
The Jets really suck.
7 of which we kicked field goals for.
Yeah.
So, Sanders was 7 of 8.
But Scotty, look, had we won this game, like I said before, we would have been out of the top five in the draft. I'm not willing to give up the top five pick.
Okay.
I think it's not worth it to beat these idiots. Yeah, we already showed that they suck. We already showed we beat them when we had, you know, when we played them in Miami. We could have beat them again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not saying much beating these Jets.
Yeah, it depends which hat I'm wearing. If I'm wearing the Dolphin fan, I'm engaged with the game, I hate the Jets hat, then I want to win. I don't care. I want to win. If I put my GM hat on, like, a day or two after the game or whatever, then I have to agree with you because,
yeah.
I mean, what's the point? We have a losing season.
Let's get the
How
best
is
pick.
It any better if we have 5 wins over 3 wins?
I was upset every time you lose to the Jets.
I still want to see us develop players. I still want to see.
Scotty, anytime you lose to the Jets.
Positive things happen.
Anytime you lose to the Jets, you're going to be pissed. I wasn't as pissed as Flores was. Boy, did you see that fire?
I love the passion.
God, I love that guy.
The whole.
He chased that ref down. You see
yep,
that?
Yep, I did. And he was pissed. Like, I tweeted on our behalf. I think it was OJ McDuffie tweeted something about the loss or the bad call. He thought it was a bad call that the refs made that cost us the game. And
well, the refs didn't make a bad call. It was New York.
Yeah.
I mean, the refs called it incomplete. They did a great call.
Yeah.
You know, no penalty at all.
Yeah.
But it got reversed.
And I said, I agree. I'm not super passionate about, you know, the way that went, like I would be under, you know, sort of quote unquote normal circumstances. But I made the comment too that, you know, did you see Flores' passion?
It was amazing.
Around
it was
that
great
play,
to see that.
Around that call, around the end of that game, he was just, yeah.
So you don't think Philbin would have had the same reaction?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I tend to agree.
And
Gase with
you. Would not have had the same reaction.
His eyes would have been bugged out, and that's about it.
And he would have, you know, stood up on the podium making excuses. So.
Yeah, probably that would be his excuse.
Yeah.
We would have won the game if.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, terrible.
I don't know why I hate this guy so passionately. Maybe it's because every time we watch a Jets game that's in New York, they show him on TV all the time.
Oh, that fireman head guy?
Yes.
Oh, he's a schmuck.
They kept showing him throughout the game. I'm like, this guy's getting more TV time than Gase or you know, the owner of the Jets anything like that. Why is he on TV?
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Oh, God. It annoys the living crap out of me. So there was a fumble by Anderson that I didn't understand why it wasn't looked at. Now, I was trying to see. They said, it looks like the ball went out of bounds. But
yeah,
it looked like
it was recovered with our player being out of bounds, yes.
Okay.
That's what I thought. But it wasn't looked at.
The ball itself was in bounds.
Yeah, but I thought his body was touching the line.
So
That's what I saw.
Okay.
I thought it was a good call.
Yeah. I was questioning it that nobody stopped to take a look at it. I mean, there was no flag. There was no...
I think our coaching staff's on top of that. They would have challenged it or something. It just wasn't...
Stephen Parker seems to appear and disappear at times, but he made himself visible this game with a great, you know, with a pick.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those smart ones, because if you watch the play slowly, it's... him reading Darnold's eyes and then breaking at the right moment to get there before the ball does.
Darnold. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was, you know, if you could blame it on Darnold because he stared at his receiver too long, or you could say that's a great play by the safety reading Darnold's eyes and then, you know, baiting him a little bit and then breaking at the right moment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I like that play. We haven't talked about Laird at all. He had a couple of good runs in this game.
Actually, he ran with authority, and he caught the ball well. I think he was targeted.
He's been consistently catching the ball well. What do you got?
He was targeted 5 times, made 4 catches, 38 yards, almost 10 yards a carry. I mean, a catch.
A catch.
And rushing, it's tough, man. I mean, 15 carries, but 48 yards, 3.2. That's about as good as a running back's going to get in Miami.
Yeah. So,
now that we're talking about that running game, Scott.
Sure.
So, who was missing from that offensive line for most of the game?
Dieter.
Weird, huh?
Yeah.
That's really weird.
That there were two guys that were benched for poor performance.
Well,
Dieter was one.
Taco was inactive.
And Taco was the other one.
Inactive.
I know. And I thought he was our best defensive end.
He's our leading sack. I think he has 5.5 sacks.
So what's the story? Have you seen, have you heard, have you read anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about it, but Dieter was the one that
I would have gone looking today if I'd had a little more time.
No, but Dieter was the one, Scott, that really bothered me because he was a pretty high draft choice.
Yep.
And we were expecting great things out of this kid. Yep. And now he's not even starting, and they played him only at the end of the game, and he gave up a sack or whatever, and he looked terrible. I don't know, man. I mean, is it another bust? Did we draft it another bust? You know, I was listening to Omar Kelly, and we know how people feel. You know? But today is actually one of the best days I ever heard him. I got to give him credit for these two statistics.
On the Joe Rowe show?
Yes.
Give the show the credit, not the guy.
The show is awesome. But he had two interesting points.
Okay.
Number one was he mentioned that we have played 18 rookies this year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And I bet you next year we're going to play another 18.
I bet you we are because we have so many draft picks.
Because we have so many draft picks. Yeah. Okay. Right. But
this year it's because we've been scraping them off of other people's practice squads.
And now we just stole the free agent pile. Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the point that he made that was really interesting is those rookies that have been really successful for Miami really haven't been draft choices. A lot of them have been free agent,
uh-huh.
And especially
on AKA Preston Williams.
Yeah, on the offensive line.
Uh-huh.
He brought up this point, and Joe seconded him on it, that since the year 2000, we haven't had one guy picked in the offensive line that has been a significant player that's not in the first round. So if we do not pick in the first round, the guys suck.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Since the year 2000.
Well, we can't hang 2000 on our current staff.
Well, but we can hang a guy named Dieter who was inactive.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Not inactive, but they didn't play him till the last 8 or 9 plays of the game.
Right.
I mean, and the guy who was once rated the second worst guard in football.
Yes.
What's going on? I mean, we can't draft again?
And we have to get offensive line this year. Have to.
Yeah, and we both agree that it's not going to be through the draft exclusively.
No,
but
it's
has
be
to
a
have
combination.
Some,
yes.
It has to be a combination.
It should be a couple of offensive linemen and two mm-hmm. picks.
Yeah,
on the
and right
line.
Now, as it looks on this draft, it doesn't look like we have drafted that well.
I mean, you know, what makes a team solid is the offensive and defensive lines, and mm-hmm. we have bad on both.
On
right?
both sides.
So our defensive line is okay, at least in the middle, but we have no ends, right? And our offensive line, I'm not sure who's any good on
that. And he beat the hell out of Christian Wilkins saying that, you know, he's been blocked. I don't know. We've got...
Yeah, we got into that discussion a little too because it was just 2 weeks ago that he was named the best defensive lineman.
Of the rookies
of this draft.
I don't know. Maybe it was in our division.
Is this an Omar thing or... Yeah, it wasn't that
know,
narrow. It
honestly,
was in the whole league.
The eyeball test, I haven't seen him make a lot of plays.
Yeah.
I see him once in a while pop in. Against the Jets, I didn't see him
make. So statistics, they don't, I mean, do they lie? Sometimes they lie. I was going to say they don't lie.
No, pressures.
What do they show?
Well, he didn't have a horrific game. He had 5 tackles, 1 solo.
What do you want out of a defensive
tackle?
Yeah,
that's not bad.
It's not bad.
He had more tackles than McMillan, who had 4.
Who's normally pretty good against the run.
Rowe had a bunch of tackles. I don't know. That's a good sign.
Well, whenever your DBs are making most of the tackles, that's a bad sign.
Him and Baker had 9 tackles. That's not, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. Needham is next up there. Yeah.
And I do want to call out Needham for that blitz, which was an awesome play. Did you?
I love that kid. That kid's earned himself.
He blitzed. He flew up in the air. Just rejected the ball, batted it right back in Darnold's face. And that was a fan moment for me. I'm like, in your face, in your face.
Hey, Scotty, can we just get that kid and just pencil him in the 53-man roster for next year?
Yeah, he's there.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
I love this kid. I mean, I think that there's
keep growing him, and mm-hmm. he'll turn into something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So before we finish up on the Jets, let's just talk about that last drive. There's a player that just came off of IR that made a key play in a key moment that I thought won the game for us. That's Van Ginkel, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, he did.
He sacked Darnold when they were in field goal range on second down to take him out of field goal range. And I'm like, well, we'll just stop him here, and that's it, right? And mm-hmm. that's the next play was the horrible pass interference call. So,
yep. Yep, he played very
good.
Well.
To see him come in and, very and make nice a to see key that. Play like that. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so moving on, let's take a look at where we might end up. You know, there's only a couple weeks left in mm-hmm. the regular season, and you know, let's take a look at the schedule and see where we may end up draft wise. So we know we have two games left against losing teams, and then we end our season in New England. Who needs a win at this point?
Yeah, they're going to beat us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we got the Giants this week, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And we got the Bengals the following week.
And that Bengal game is in Cincinnati, right?
No, it's in Miami.
Oh, no. That doesn't matter. Cincinnati's, they're playing much better football right now.
Yeah, well, they brought their actual quarterback in.
Yes.
And even though he's been captain mediocre for his whole career, mediocre is better than stinky. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, they're being very competitive right now.
Yep. Well, they sure pounded the Jets.
Yeah,
we talked about that last week.
I guess that's their only victory, but yeah.
Yes. So we are at New York this week in the Meadowlands,
and that's the Giants are 2-11.
Yep.
Bengals are 1-12.
Even if we ended up losing to them, then we have the same record, and what the strength of schedule thing still works in their favor.
That's the next one, yeah. And that might be in their favor. And the Giants, the good thing about the Giants is that they don't need a quarterback, allegedly, right?
We don't think so.
We don't think so.
Right. So I sort of looked at the injury report. I couldn't figure out whether we're going to have Devontae Parker back. We know Wilson is, we think he's done for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that one either. I have no certainty on the injuries from this weekend yet. And will Daniel Jones be back, or will we be facing Eli Manning?
Doesn't matter.
And does that make a difference?
At the end of the day, the game's in New York. It's a cold weather again.
Yep.
Obviously, we played pretty well today. This week in the cold weather, the
we
Giants
just stayed in New York.
Yeah, the Giants are gonna. You know, it's a big game for us. That if we win, we're definitely moving out of the top three. Definitely.
Well, okay.
Because here's what's happening: we have the Cardinals at 3-10.
Yep.
We have the Redskins at 3-10.
Okay, so we should look at those other teams to see what they're going to do as well if we're going to make this mm-hmm. prediction.
Well, because the Redskins, at that point, we would have a game lead on us, so to speak, if we want to win this weekend. Because the Redskins
also play.
I don't think they have a chance of winning.
They are home against the Eagles.
They're going to get killed.
The Eagles were supposed to kill us.
Yeah, the Eagles will beat them.
The Eagles were supposed to kill the Giants.
They beat them.
In overtime.
Okay. Now the Eagles will beat them.
Okay.
And next game?
The Cardinals play the Browns, and they're hosting at home.
Yeah, the Browns will beat them.
The Bengals are hosting the Patriots.
Yeah, they're done. They're going to lose. Yeah, especially with the spine that the Patriots were able to pull off. I don't think they have a chance of winning that game.
Yeah, they've got all the playbook and the signals. And,
yeah, they got everything.
They know who's coming on and off the field.
Another gate, spy gate, deflated ball gate, whatever they call that. What do they call that thing?
It's a deflate gate.
Deflate gate. God. Yeah.
Who knows?
The old model of the Patriots, right? If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
I guess so.
Well, they're at it again.
Okay, so those are the teams we're watching for 15, unless you want to talk about the Jets, too, which is kind of funny.
No, forget the Jets.
Well, they're in Baltimore.
Yeah, they're done. They're done. I saw that. how about the last week of the season?
Well, okay. Well, we got 3 weeks left, right? So mm-hmm. We got that's week 15 this weekend. We got week 16. We're hosting the Bengals, right?
Yes.
The Redskins are hosting the Giants. So one of those two teams has to win and one has to lose.
Redskins are hosting the Giants. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Battle. So we're going to be able to hopefully skip one of those teams.
Yeah. And the Cardinals will be away at Seattle.
Yeah, they're going to lose.
I would think. Especially after Seattle.
I mean, the Cardinals are 3-10. I mean, we're right there with those guys.
Yes, I know.
We're right there. But here's what I would do. If we're convinced that Joe Burrow is the answer, and I've been, for a while now, that's been my guy, right?
Yeah.
I've had him I liked him over Tua, and then I think he outplayed Tua when they played. And Tua, again, throws a great long ball, but, you know, all those injuries and all, obviously.
Yeah, I thought Tua was a better passer.
Better passer than the long ball, but I said it before and I'll say it again. Joe Burrow has that it factor.
Okay, well, we're not drafting. I don't see how we're drafting Joe Burrow.
Well,
no matter what happens.
Let me tell you right now.
Okay.
Okay, this is what's going to happen.
We're going to trade with the Bengals?
We are going to trade next year's number one. This year's number one. This year's another number one. If we have to give up three number ones.
You believe in Joe Burrow that much?
Yeah.
I do not.
I do.
I do not believe in him to be that level of a player. And
no
there's
problem.
No way I'm giving up those picks.
I would give up.
I couldn't possibly disagree with you more.
I would give up three number ones to move up to get him for sure. If it's a sure thing and we're getting him. Now, this
is. You can't put an if on it.
Well, this is why.
If you're our GM. That's what you're doing.
If I am,
you believe in Joe Burrow right now.
If I'm as convinced as what my eyeballs have shown, and I interview this kid, and it comes through flying colors, yes.
Okay.
You wouldn't give up three number ones for Dan Marino.
Dan Marino wasn't picked first in
the
draft.
It doesn't matter.
He was the fifth quarterback.
It doesn't matter. The thing is, if you have a shot at a guy with that ability.
We didn't know. Shula didn't know that Dan Marino was Dan Marino. That's my point.
But this kid... Okay, we've seen him game after game playing, no matter who he plays, Alabama, it doesn't matter. This kid balls out. This kid plays incredible.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback.
Not bad. He's an awesome quarterback, and he's better than anybody out there.
Well, he doesn't.
Herbert's looked pedestrian, okay? Best word I could look for him. Tua is hurt. He's damaged goods right now.
Yes, I know.
I mean,
and he may be damaged forever.
Okay, so if you want the one shot that is a sure thing is this kid, and that's how I would do it. And the team that I think that might do that is Cincinnati.
They might give us
that number one pick if we give them three number ones.
Well, all you can do is call them up on the phone and ask.
Well, that's what, but Scott, look, here's what I would do. And again, why? Because look, I'm going to give you.
Maybe they've already got their sights on Joe Burrow and they're just going to say,
if that happens, then yeah, we're screwed.
They're in the control seat for that one.
They are. But we are in a position to really make them think about it.
Yeah.
Unless they're not
100%
sold
on them. I think we need too many
players
on this team. And if we're in rebuild mode, then we still take a quarterback, but we take it at one of the draft positions we have, even if it's not in the first round.
If we have $100 million left over, like we said, okay, that we can actually benefit and improve the team, and we can move up and get that franchise quarterback, I'm doing it. Well, I don't care if I have to give up.
The key here is that you have to be convinced that guy is the franchise quarterback.
Yes.
And I'm not.
Well, you're not.
I like what I see, but there's no one guy that's coming out that I believe is worth that risk. You are rolling the dice five times over.
Okay, what
doing
I'm
that.
Saying, if again, I'm not saying that I'm going to do this. I'm saying if the interviews go the way they should go, and this kid continues to play at this level for the end of this year, he's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner. That's for sure.
Okay.
He probably should. I don't know if he's going to win a national.
That means nothing. Heisman
Trophy. But the bottom line, he's the best player in college, and his game translates very well.
Just about everyone will
His game transitions perfectly
to the
NFL.
Best guy in the draft.
Scott, perfectly. So. He can play.
Okay.
He can run. He can throw.
I won't I won't like be disappointed if we get him, but I will put all kinds of guns, loaded guns, to Greer's head. If he spends all those picks on one guy and that guy doesn't work out, it's over.
But you know what? So far, his picks haven't been that great, except for the first year, a couple of picks.
So okay? You're confident that if he did that for Joe Burrow, that's the right move? That
if he's Joe Burrow giving checks up, out, yes. Oh,
he's
I
giving
would.
Up th- if Joe three Burrow turns out, round
yes.
Players
oh, yes. If he turns
for
out to
one
be
one first round player.
If he turns out to be a franchise quarterback,
I'm
yes.
not doing it. There's no circumstance where I'm doing that.
Well, then you could sit back and you can get another Deion, you know, Deion.
I'm going to draft
Jordan or whatever his name was.
No, I'm not. That's the problem. I've been burnt too many times by the Miami Dolphins. Every single time we trade up multiple players, we lose.
But
every time.
But
Deion Jordan is an example of that.
Because, again, they didn't do their homework. They didn't do their homework. They didn't.
Okay.
I'm saying do your homework.
In recent history, Jordan and Carew immediately come to mind.
Be as secure.
They're both out of football.
As secure as you can be. Know that this guy's the guy, then you roll your ships, you roll your dice, and you go after this guy with everything you got.
Well,
and now we have a real franchise quarterback that we can build around.
Okay.
Which, now we have a number one receiver.
I mean, we all know that's what we need. We need a quarterback that we can build around.
Yes.
So, I mean, that part of the argument I can't possibly win. But spending that much on one guy...
Doesn't matter. If you know that's the guy,
when you know that the
if
your
you
whole
know
team
that's the
sucks,
guy, if you know
you need,
that's the guy,
you need offensive linemen, you need defensive ends, you need all these other
corners,
safeties,
we can fix the
safeties,
offensive line with free agents,
wide receivers, running backs. We don't have any running.
A running
backs.
Back, you can get them in the third round.
Okay,
all day long.
We don't.
Okay, yeah. Except the thing is, we're not drafting well. That's the reality.
Yeah,
we haven't been drafting well for a very long time. But now, if we have a chance to roll it, it's simple. It's like me saying, you know, why is it that when you bet on certain teams, the odds are, you know, you gotta bet 1,000 to win 200, because it's a sure bet or as sure as it gets, right? That's what you get with a kit like this. If you believe this is the kit, you roll the dice, you get him in your team, and you build around
him. If you believe he's that,
you know what the Dolphins have right now, Scott, and we've been talking about. We have assets.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Use those damn assets to get the number one player that's going to turn your team around. That's the same as a team being able to capture a Larry Bird, the team being able to capture a Magic Jordan, a Michael Jordan, excuse me.
I like the odds better of us getting good players by having more picks than
conservative
nature is
coming out
on one guy.
I'm not. I you know the way I play fantasy, the way I play I want to get that guy that's going to be a difference maker. And I don't want to get a bunch of mediocrity so we can be a middle of the road team and we can draft number 18 next year. I want to get a kid that's going to be able to take us to the promised land. A real quarterback who's going to be a big difference. And you would have given up three number ones for Marino in a heartbeat.
Right, but we didn't.
Shula
didn't.
We didn't have
he did
the
not
resources.
Overspend.
We didn't have the assets.
He didn't have to.
We
didn't
have the assets, and he fell to us. We got lucky.
Which is about 50% of the quarterbacks that are good in the league.
Fair enough. Are you willing
They've
to wait to get lucky?
Number 20.
Are you willing to wait to get lucky, or are you willing to put your chips down
and
on
Rogers
a guy?
And the list is long.
You can draft a guy like Love and hope that he develops. Or
then
you can
draft another guy the following year and another guy the following
and
year.
And you'll be drafting for the rest of your life and probably never get one. You'll be like all these teams are that never get over the hump because they just don't they don't get that one franchise guy. That's what Miami needs to do. We have the assets. If we believe this is the kid, go for it. Go for it. Everything you got. And let's get this guy in the Miami Dolphin uniform. And you're going to see this whole, that the whole Dolphin Nation will recharge the whole overnight. So
okay.
That's my take on that.
Yeah, I disagree.
Well, we'll see what happens. You're probably right. These guys are going to be conservative and they won't roll the dice. And we're going to end up being mediocre forever.
Well, I hope that's not true, too.
Well, I hope that's not. But if we don't get that franchise quarterback sooner than later, that's where we're heading to.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got to keep in mind that It's Greer is not one man alone. He is taking the responsibility for the draft, but now he's got Flores and his coaching staff influencing him by scheme and by player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got, you know, Allen and McKenzie.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, we all say Greer, one guy, but really it's, you know.
But the buck stops with him.
It does. The responsibility sits on his lap. So.
I mean, he drafted Fitzpatrick. He's no longer here. I mean, again, you know, what can you say about that?
Well, he drafted him with Gase, under Gase influence, right? So to fit Gase's scheme for doing things. Right.
Whatever that means to me, a scheme was a bubble screen. I mean, I don't know what scheme. Yeah. We saw it with the Jets. I mean, this guy's terrible.
It's so exciting. Thinking about the draft, thinking about going to Vegas, I can't wait.
I think it's going to be super exciting.
Which brings up another topic. Today, mm-hmm. I happened to go and look at the schedule for next year. The 2020 schedule. Yeah. So it doesn't have dates and times, but we know exactly who we're going to play, with two exceptions, I think. There's like two open slots or something like that. But we know where we're playing them to.
Which is nuts. It doesn't make any sense. What you're about to say does not make sense, but say it.
The Dolphins will be on or near the West Coast three times.
That's crazy.
Next season.
That's nuts.
We should go to all three of them.
Of course we should.
It's going to be a little
thank
bit.
Thank God we don't have to go to Oakland.
Right. That's we're at San Francisco, which is San Jose, right? Which is south of
We were there once.
Well, no, we went to Candlestick.
Yeah, but we were at San Francisco. You know,
spaceship.
Whatever,
yeah.
Wherever these guys play.
Yep. That's one of our legendary stories from our very first episode.
Yep.
We're at Oakland, which puts us right back in Las Vegas, which is a 5-hour drive for us and
a
fun place to go.
You really just say that? We're in Oakland, which puts us in Vegas?
I'm reading the schedule, and it doesn't say. It says at Oakland Raiders Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas, Nevada. That's
They're no longer
on the screen that I'm looking at. So
starting next year, they're no longer the Oakland Raiders.
So I perpetuated a mistake. I did not follow David Marquette's decisive, informed decision, right? I just went in automatic mode.
San Diego Chargers.
So, yeah. Well, I've caught both of us doing that.
Yeah, well, it's pretty easy.
And it's been a couple of years already.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then the Cardinals, which we've also been there.
That's right. Oh, but we have not been to see them at State Farm Stadium. We saw them in the Sun Devil Stadium.
Sun Devil Stadium, yes.
Right.
Which was really nice. It was really enjoyable.
And I also saw that we were playing both the Chargers and the Rams next year. And I thought, well, one of those two games for sure is going to be in L.A., but now looking, I see that they're not.
They're both in Miami.
They're both in Miami. So two LA teams.
So we're playing both LA teams. Wow, that's crazy.
Which is kind of freaky also, in a way.
Wow.
Well, I guess it happens.
Well, three times out here to the West Coast, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I hope they don't have us in that silly London game, right?
No.
Thank God.
Nope. There are two games that are still open. One is a home game and one is an away game. So I'm assuming that the rest of the season will determine who those two teams are, and maybe even the playoff picture or whatever.
Yeah.
It's one of those formulaic things based on how the season ends up on who you play, strength of schedule, all that stuff. So that there's, but everything else is filled in. So interesting enough.
Well, we're going to have a fun. So next week is the Giants, right?
So next week is the Giants. Let's finish up on that.
Giants. Hope I would love to see Eli. I think he gives them a better chance to win, actually.
That's why you want to see Eli.
Yeah.
I mean, he came off the bench, and I thought they were going to win that game against the Eagles.
You know, Eli is a winner. Even though, you know, do you know how many games over 500 he is for his career?
I think he's, like, melting down pretty close to 500 at this point.
He's one game over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, one game under. He just lost.
I thought he was dead, 50-50.
He was 50-50, he just lost.
Wow.
That crazy?
That is crazy. Won a couple Super Bowls, but has a losing record.
Is that nuts?
Yeah. I'm not sure how much of that's a function of him versus a function of the management around the Giants over the last few years. They've really
been bad, but boy, that's just,
after that Super Bowl win, they just took a rocket straight to the bottom, and
that's
and
just so strange.
Crashed and burned that's and stayed there.
Such a strange number, but no, I mean, listen, when the game is not on, I want us to lose. I just the way it is. When the game starts, I can never cheer for us to lose.
Yeah,
but I do think if we're going to get a shot at what we're talking about here before, we got to continue on this path of getting a high pick.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I keep rooting for the Steelers to lose. And
yeah,
they're not
it's
losing.
Not doing too
I
well.
I keep rooting for Houston to lose, and they did lose this weekend, right? Didn't
they
get
look
pounded
pathetic.
By somebody?
They look great. I loved it. I mean, they were.
Let's hope they stay on that trend.
All I know is I turned on the TV, right?
And it's a damn, to me, it's a damn miracle that the Steelers are winning.
No, but listen, I'm watching this game, right? Yeah. I'm watching all these games on my TV there, and I see 31-3. And I'm thinking, there goes our draft choice.
Houston's kicking ass again.
Our draft choice just got better.
And then you look again.
Yeah, no. I saw it. I saw immediately they were losing 31-3. I'm like, boy, that's it. Our draft choice just got better. Yeah. I mean, that was great. And Pittsburgh, I don't know how they're doing it. It's smoke and mirrors. I mean, they're one of the worst offensive.
Twine and.
Their offense is terrible, but that defense has been playing great.
Yeah, tape, scotch tape.
You know, I've always said Tomlin's a good coach, and people have argued back and forth.
Right, and my Steelers fan, I know a few, and they don't like him, and one of them absolutely hates him.
Yeah, but he won the Super Bowl, and he keeps him competitive every year, and he's been able to coach all these morons that he had there.
I mean, just
the fact that what I saw.
Take a stance on it because I just don't.
What I saw
of
Antonio Brown recently and what we've seen of Bell, yeah, they can coach. And because both of those guys look like crap outside of, or acted like idiots outside of Pittsburgh.
Yep. Well,
it's a little bit in Pittsburgh too, but. Yeah. I mean, Bell was a superstar. Now he's. He's lucky to get a minimum wage.
Well, he is
wage.
Playing under the worst coach in the NFL.
Well, and Tomlin obviously is not as bad as a coach, is he?
No.
And then also, and take a look at Brown. Brown just melted everywhere he went.
Yeah.
You know, including New England.
Yeah. Well, he scored a touchdown against us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it for him.
That was it, and then he was then he was fired for threatening some girl or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so I don't think we're going to win this weekend, Scotty. I think we're going to lose. I think it'll be a tight game, though. Miami just doesn't get blown out anymore.
Yeah, we fight.
It's beautiful to see that, huh?
Yeah.
It really is.
And there's just no give up. Every time I think it's over, I get that old Gase, you know, historical Dolphins thing reaches up and pulls me down into the toilet.
We don't.
It doesn't happen. We got down two scores to, you know.
You know, there's this old saying in sports that always that your team takes the personality of the coach. I think the Dolphins are starting to take the personality of our coach.
Let's hope they stay there.
And we are a tough. But Scotty, here's my point. We act like a tough team. We play really aggressive the whole game, smart football. I mean, always one of the least penalized. It really looks like our coach. I mean, that passion at the end of the game, that's what our team plays with the whole game, the thing that we saw from Flores. So I'm really glad what we have right now. I'm super happy with our coaching staff. Again, I mean, we said this before, but I love it, and I hope that I know this weekend I can, even if I don't wish for it, right now I know we're going to be strong, we're going to be competitive. And we might win.
Well, we've seen a bunch of people and some articles, too, saying, don't crown Flores as the next Shula, which is not.
Nobody's saying
that. I just
want
to make the point
no
that
one's saying
we're
that.
Not saying that. Come on. We're just excited about what we see and the potential going forward, right? Mm-hmm. We're making an early call that we think it's a good coaching staff, and we can't wait to see what they do going forward.
And I love to fantasize, right? About seeing this coach with a real talented staff.
Yes.
With, you know,
players.
Team. Players. Yeah. Yes. It would, because I think his staff is talented. It's going to be fantastic. And I think overall this defense is going to get a lot better under him and what they're doing. And that offense, boy, has improved so much. I mean, the whole team, special team, there's not an aspect of our team, including that offensive line, which was the worst in football.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it's still the worst. It's probably,
we can't run block.
It's still the worst running.
We can't run
blocking.
Yeah, we are on pace to become the worst rushing team in the history of football.
Yes.
Ugh. Well, I think Fritz is taking that.
Yeah.
Into his own
hands. So let's not spend all those first round picks on the
quarterback. Let's get a quarterback.
If we can't protect him,
we'll find some free agents that don't want to play behind a young kid like
him. If we end up with
like
Tua, I didn't want to make the joke. That was it.
We'll be fine. Anyway, it's been fun, Scotty.
Right, man.
Let's have fun and let's see another competitive hard game by Miami next week.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Always a pleasure, man.
Two Old Dolphins Podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally and a Facebook page. The Two Old Dolphins would like to thank Rick DeJesus and Adelitas Way for allowing us to use their music throughout our podcast. Absolutely kick-ass rock out of this Las Vegas band. And if you get the chance to see them live, don't miss it. They put on a great show every single time. The Two Old Dolphins would also like to thank the band Tartanic. We love those bagpipes and drums, and we've got them in the podcast too. Guarantee get the chance to see them live at the fair or wherever they may be. They put on an entertaining show. It's a blast. Don't miss them.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolls Fans. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins! God and soul.